I just realised we've said some really funny things and now I don't have a copy and I can't put them on the intro.
Oh no. We can recreate them and it'll probably come across as like really false and awful, so it'll look like we've written really terrible jokes.
Hooray! So basically we're going
to... Did you hear about the woman in Armenia?
She literally held the country to ransom. Wasn't that the point? No, it was something about blackjack. That was it. The woman in Armenia that dug up the blackjack table and held the internet to ransom.
Yeah, that's it.
That was it.
You know what I'm just wondering? She cut off a fiber optic cable, right? Would it be like... What if she'd looked through it? Would it have just blinded her? All of the
she just had the internet downloaded into her head.
Oh,
like the Matrix.
This is how superheroes start.
That's a pretty good origin story.
Woman in Armenia, when through a tragic internet accident, she gained all the knowledge and powers of the internet.
But it's a blessing and a curse.
You can only speak in 140 character bytes.
But she'd have every virus going. No human has a built-in virus check. That would just be terrible.
All humans have a built-in virus check.
Oh yeah.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. You are listening to the Webcomics Company Podcast, a podcast all about, surprisingly, webcomics. I am joined by three very exciting web cartoonists. You probably know them if you've listened to one of our previous 19 or 20 episodes, I think, at the current point in time. I'll start in no particular order with Zoe Robinson of ZoeRobinson.com.
Hello there. And
Luke Healy of SwaneyNuke.com.
So exciting.
And James Spence of girlsinspace.co.uk.
Hello there.
My name is Luke Searle from the unimaginatively titled LukeSearle.com. And the Webcomics Company podcast can be found at webcomics.co. Today, we are going to be discussing legal issues. So I hope you have your notebooks out to take notes. There will be a test at the end to see how much you have remembered. And mostly in these legal issues, we will be mostly talking to Zoe, because you are some variety of lawyer, I believe.
I'm a law student.
Law student.
Yeah, I think that technically counts as diet lawyer.
So you've got half the sugar but twice the caffeine.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
I've never had any particular legal troubles with my site. I don't think I've done anything which that would particularly worry anybody with a team of lawyers. Has anybody here had anything particular happen?
No. I've wondered a few things about things that I've put up, some of the questions that we've been asked today that we're going to be discussing are ones, some of which have crossed my mind, so I'll be curious to hear the answers to them, but no, nothing directly myself.
I haven't either.
And I guess so, you've probably avoided using your keen legal brain to...
I think I've skirted close to the issue on a couple of occasions, but I've never actually had legal problems. So I'm quite happy, and I'll be even more happy if it never comes up. Which I think goes for all of us, really.
We're doing this particular topic in response to a few questions that we've had. through, I think it was through the webcomic list forums.
It was, yes.
So, should we have a look at those?
Yes, but before we go into those, we've got to say right at the outset that none of us are technically qualified to give legal advice, so none of this can count as legal advice. And you should, if you have legal issues or questions, you should always consult a lawyer or advocate who specialises in your particular jurisdiction.
Excellent. Well said.
And with that out of the way,
we are now disclaimed.
don't try and sue us anyway, because none of us have any money. So.
it's true.
Yeah.
Or at least none that we're going to admit to.
I think what happens is people produce comics, and it is a fear that you could essentially have all your work undone by some keen person with, or some very powerful and very rich organisation just swooping in and trying to shut you down. And most webcomics people are not swimming in cash, so would be feel quite vulnerable to any such form of attack.
Oh, certainly. It is a justified worry as well. I mean, it has happened in the past. Who was it that produced Captain Marvel and then, through a variety of legal battles, ended up giving it to DC Comics? I can't even remember who they were called. I think they're actually the characters that are the basis of Alan Moore's Watchmen, although he did change them after that.
It's Carlton Comics.
That is it. That's it, yes. And I think the same happened with Marvel Comics and Fighting America. Fighting American was basically a parody of Captain America, who got a bit too close to the bone, and I think he's now published by Marvel Comics. So it can be a worry.
But I think in terms of webcomics, the only one I know of specifically is Penny Arcade. I think had a particular criticism for a particular game, and I think they did actually take down a comic. They then went on instantly to produce a far harsher one, which was however within legal scope, so the swings and roundabouts. But, I think as far as I'm aware, I'm not aware of any case where somebody has actually tried to sue for damages. I think the maximum I've ever heard of is just a simple cease and desist.
Penny Arcade have come close. American McGee did sue them at one point, with the result being that they just took down the comic. It was when they decided that they were going to do a very, very keen parody of American McGee's style by using Strawberry Shortcake. If you've ever seen the Strawberry Shortcake character, I think it's on Wikipedia. It's the only place that you can actually find the comic anymore. And it really has nothing to do with American McGee, but Strawberry Shortcake's owners got a bit annoyed, and they sued them too.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Wow. So they took that down, but it's on Wikipedia if you want to have a look at it. And it's a very silly comic. yeah, but most of the time, I think if you don't want to go too close to ripping off other people to the point where you could effectively be classed as passing off that on their trademarks, then you're probably all right. Unless you're in Britain and you're trying to hide behind parody.
Yeah, parody is a tricky one, because it does offer some protection, but I think a lot of people, you know, like lay people, don't really know where the line is.
Yeah, I can tell you straight off, if you're in Britain, there is no line. Parody is not protected under copyright law in the UK.
All right.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shock to people, that one.
So which rules would apply then if I am posting a comic from here in the UK, but I'm parodying somebody in America, how would that work? Because there's two legal systems there.
excuse me. In most cases, what will happen is they will go to their lawyer in the United States, and their lawyer will tell them, this person is based in Britain, sue them under British law, because you'll win. What was the term? It's like legal tourism or copyright tourism or something like that.
Mm.
Where if you can fight a copyright claim in Britain, do it in Britain because you're more likely to win. We have the worst copyright laws in the world.
Right.
There is a wider political issue here, which I also subscribe to, but that's not something I'll campaign in the podcast about. But yes, British libel law as well is quite...
Oh, libel tourism is even worse.
Yeah. For libel and defamation, you're able to take action in any country where the work is published. So it's probably something similar for comics. And if you're putting them online, that basically means anywhere.
Yep, you're going to have trouble. Which does actually answer one of the questions we've had from Steph of SarahZero.com, where he's asked, since I'm in Canada, am I entitled to any sort of diplomatic immunity from America's corporate wolf lawyers? Well, unfortunately, probably not. If they're going to argue that your work has been published within the United States and therefore comes under their jurisdiction.
So do you think, should we go through some of these questions then? We've sort of started to talk kind of in general terms, just a bit concerned that we might miss someone's question if we if we don't do it.
You've got a good point there. Okay, shall we start with Red's, since Red was the first person to ask a question?
Okay, brilliant, yeah.
Okay, this one's from R, and then in brackets, ED, so I'm going to pronounce it as Red, of, I think it's meiosiswebcomic.com, who says, I appreciate that all works produced have copyright on them as creator rights, and I see some people using Creative Commons to allow a little more leeway when it comes to people distributing derived works or copies. But is there a risk that there could be a conflict of interest? Say if someone wanted to publish books, but there's a whole community of fan works, or if some of those fan works were to be distributed alongside? If not going down a self-publishing route, could a potential publisher have issues with, say, that cool character tribute made by a fan on YouTube? And that's... I think that's several questions, really. Let's try...
Yeah, I think the main crux of the question is, can you publish fan art inside your comics? Alongside, that's what I got from the question anyway.
That's not what I got, but I think we should answer both of those, because I think both of those are pretty good questions. The fan art one, I can answer straight off. Yes, you can publish it if you have permission, because you don't own the copyright on the particular fan art.
Yeah, you don't own copyright on the piece. You do own copyright on the character, though.
You do.
So you can ask them to take down their fan art, or like you can complain about them doing fan art, I guess, but you can't use it. And yeah, it's.
Yeah,
I didn't explain that very well.
I wouldn't say that. I think you've hit the nail on the head. You own the character; they own the drawing.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, that's
because you cool. you may own the copyright on the particular character, the ideas behind it, or whatever, but they own that specific depiction of it. Just the same way as, say, someone writes Star Trek fan fiction, Paramount Studios own Star Trek, but you own the copyright on the particular plot that you've used. So they couldn't then say, you have to take down that particular piece of fan fiction. Oh, by the way, we're doing a screenplay based on it.
Right. So
yeah.
So if you've written that piece of Star Trek fan fiction, you then presumably wouldn't be able to do anything at all with it, because if Paramount are able to say you've got to take it down at that point, it's then just. You can't use it for anything, I guess.
Yeah, unless you changed it significantly so that you're not using any of their copyrighted material.
Right, okay.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, say I draw a picture of Batman. DC is allowed to say to me, you're not allowed to publish that picture of Batman, but they're not allowed to say, we're going to publish that picture of Batman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they own the character, and they can get you to stop distributing your copy of the picture, but they can't take it and say that it's now theirs because you drew their character.
yeah, that's it. Which comes down to the definition of copyright, which is the right to copy. They can produce whatever they want of Batman, and because they own the copyright for it, they own the right to copy it.
Do you have a question for the team? If so, pose it at www.webcomics.co.
Webcomics Company Podcast. There's an interesting thing here on the other side of things. If you are producing a comic, it's probably a good idea to tell people, say, if somebody has a great idea for a cartoon, don't send it to me, because there it's just you just don't want to know other people's jokes, because then
yeah.
Sort of, is it their joke, is it your joke, who really owns it? And although it's sort of it seems like a nice gesture, you really don't want to be reading things. I mean, I'm sure there are successful comics where people are essentially crowdsourcing ideas, and I think if you can explicitly say any idea you send to me will become mine, but I wouldn't want to speculate on how that would technically work.
It gets difficult when that happens. There is a, I remember a magazine that my wife was talking to, who claimed in small print on their website that anything sent to them became theirs. And they got sued out of existence for this, because they were effectively stealing copyrights. Because they were in a magazine that said, yeah, email us your submissions. And on their website was a disclaimer saying anything you sent to us is ours. The judge did not look favourably on them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that generally you have to remember that you're not going to get tricked out of owning your comic, if you know what I mean. The law is built to be fair.
Yeah.
So as long as you're acting reasonably and fairly, some clever lawyer is not going to turn around and say, oh, well, I can take it all from you because you did X. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you're actually signing a contract away that says you're giving away the copyright, then it's unlikely that somebody's just going to make a claim to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. And even if you do sign a copyright, it doesn't necessarily mean that contract is legal.
Exactly. It has to be notarized. Is that the right term?
Well, it doesn't have to be that. If what needs to be there for a contract has to be an offer, an acceptance, a consideration, as it's called, and the intention to create legal relations, which is often where you'll find that most people get out of that, or the consideration one as well. Money, goods, service. Basically, if you are receiving something or doing something, and the other person is either receiving something or doing something, then it's consideration. So they have to have all four of those. If they're not in place, then it's not a contract. And even if it is a contract, if it falls under the unfair contract terms, then it's not a valid contract.
All right.
So you're protected at several stages. So it's the idea that someone can just steal all your stuff, while technically possible, is incredibly unlikely.
Yeah, and I think webcomics is an area where people get kind of hung up about that.
Yeah.
Especially new people. Especially, like, I know on the Webcomic List forum, people always say, oh, I'm looking for an artist, but I don't want to post the outline to my story online in case someone steals it. And we've been over this before. Like, A, nobody's going to steal it. And B, if they steal it, and you can prove that you posted it to a place that, you know, they read it from before that they wrote it. You know, like, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
There's also the internet is a interesting, extra legal entity. And if you can convince to internets that you are in the right and somebody has stolen stuff, you can sometimes bring down the thumb of God upon them without to any form of court, and it can be far more devastating.
Oh, yes.
But of course, we do not always condone it. Should you do a few more minutes of defensive law, such as what you can do to stop yourself being evicted, and then we could do also a little bit on what to do if you feel that you have had some content stolen from you, which is also I know does happen. David and Goliath, Sorry, sorry, was that something in my throat?
Poor Jess Fink. She just, like, yeah, I know that I don't want to go into it too much, but she has just been stolen from so many times.
This is something I've missed, I'm afraid. What's the story?
should we do just sort of finish off the sort of the some of the questions we've had, which are defensive, and then we can go into bashing Todd Goldman.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the question again? Which one?
We had some other ones. Of, is it okay to use a logo of a real company or even a real product in printed issues? There's a few questions which are all generally sort of.
Yeah.
Can you use various real entities in a comic?
Oh yeah. Okay. So, excuse me, I seem to be having a really bad time with my allergies today. Okay, yeah, let's run through the questions that Steph sent then. Is changing the name or company product sufficient to avoid legal issues? Is that what you were on about?
Yeah, can you go to Smarbucks?
Yeah.
Look, Dinards and things like that.
Changing the name of a company or product can be sufficient. Excuse me. Excuse me. Sorry about that. I'll edit that bit out.
Will you really?
Oh, foiled again. Right, okay. Smarbucks, yeah, that's an interesting idea. It depends if where you are in the world. For example, if you have a generic brand X and it looks like the Starbucks logo, you're screwed because you're going to get caught for passing off, as it's called, which is basically using a sufficiently similar trademark to one that exists in order to further your product. You will get screwed royally.
I think it's okay if your characters just go into Starbucks and have a coffee, and you don't suggest anything intensely negative about Starbucks, or you don't suggest that Starbucks somehow endorse your product.
Yeah.
Is if you sort of try and use essentially their capital to promote what you're saying, or you start denigrating their products or services.
If you defame Starbucks, even changing the name probably won't protect you, because the way defamation works is if the average person on the street can read your comic and recognize that you are talking about Starbucks, so whether it's called like Star Ducks or whatever, you know what I mean? If it's slightly different, but someone can say, oh, you know what, they are talking about Starbucks, that's still defamation.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, mudding the name up a little doesn't really protect you if you're hurling insults at them.
If you went to Smarbucks and there was a fly in your coffee, and you said, I went to Smarbucks and there was a fly in my coffee in your comic, or you just voiced a general opinion, you say, I don't think Smarbucks coffee is very good, that's not defamation.
No, right? that's criticism, which
that's
is protected.
Criticism and opinion, there is a difference.
Yeah. Criticism is protected in Britain under fair dealing and in America under fair use. Fair use is the nicer of the two because it's bigger, but criticism itself, you're fine with that as long as it actually...
As long as it's true.
Well, yeah, as long as it comes under criticism and isn't just outright you shouting and your mouth off at someone.
If you said that Smarbucks coffee is made out of baby blood, and obviously that's not true, that would be defamation.
Although, funnily enough, one brilliant defense for defamation is proving that it's true.
I really hope that's not true.
So, if you were somehow able to prove that, then you, if they started taking you to court, you would have no problem. But it's demonstrating it, and that's the problem.
Yeah. And on the point of logos, you can't ever use a trademarked logo in your comic.
Yeah, just don't.
Not ever. No, they own that. They own that image. It's like you producing an image and then someone else taking that and sticking it in their comic. You can't do it.
It goes even worse than that, because one fundamental problem with trademark law is if you do not defend the use of it, you lose it. So they are pretty much legally required to go after you if you use their trademarks. It's a red rag to a bull.
So there you go.
So don't do it.
Do you really need to have a Coke can in your comic so badly?
Which is why The Simpsons has Buzz, Cola, and Duff Beer and things like that.
Yeah, and it's easy to create a generic brand name. Like,
I think one thing I quite like it when it's a legal requirement, but I think that actually it also just, as an aside, that helps narratively to help create your own separate world.
To have these
fictional companies, and I think it just helps you sort of expand the universe a bit. You can create these entities, and then over time they might develop particular characters, and you, by cutting them from their real world equivalents, you might be able to create something a little. And the same for characters. Sort of use it, creating your own characters and heroes rather than using somebody else's. I think it. This is a very loaded phrase, but is slightly more artistically valid. Legal questions aside. I prefer it when somebody's created something completely original rather than has sort of tried to use something that's already popular and already exists.
Yeah, and on that point, something interesting is that, you know, especially in programs for TV that are being made recently, they tend to use a lot more trademarks and stuff than they did. Like, you know, oh, Friends was in Central Perk, but in Big Bang Theory, Penny works in the Cheesecake Factory. The Cheesecake Factory is 100% paying for product placement there. Because every time they go, they get great food. You know what I mean?
Is that a real place?
Yeah, the Cheesecake Factory is a real chain in America.
Oh man, I'm so out of touch with reality. I hadn't even noticed.
If you can get product placement into a webcomic, then well done, to be honest.
yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
But just in general, you know what I mean? It kind of, if you're using real products, I don't know, in my mind, I would just go straight to product placement because I'm quite suspicious about stuff like that.
Yeah. So if you really, really have to do it, get permission.
Written permission.
Yeah, get not only get permission, but get proof.
Yeah. So should we round off of the defensive legal side of things with a sort of note that don't use logos, and then try not to be... sort of defamations about various things. Create original content if you can, but don't worry too much because you're a webcomic and the sad truth is probably nobody cares.
Yeah, don't stress about it.
I think they can't take any money from you than you've made unless you're actually committing, you're hurting their brand significantly. And even then, you're a webcomic, and you probably haven't got as. But chances are the worst thing that can happen would be a cease and desist.
Yeah, so if you are actually making money, then to be honest with you, I probably could, and most law students probably could as well as actual lawyers, demonstrate that the evidence of you making money from your product is evidence that we've lost money. So if I were prosecuting anyone who had actually done this, then I probably could get money off you, but the chances of me actually bothering, because the amount that we would get back in damages would probably be significantly smaller than my legal fee, so they won't. They'll send you a cease and desist. But if you do make it big and you are actually using other people's work, then you're screwed.
But you won't make it big if you are, so...
Yeah, that's true, because the moment that anyone starts to notice you, you'll get cease and desists.
Okay. Should we change track now to what happens if you think somebody is using your images? From a personal point of view, people tend to use my comics a lot. It's not in any money-making capacity, but I do find that often an image will be taken from my site and used on a blog without attribution, and I've seen it for a few of my particular ones. It happens a bit, and it's annoying. It doesn't really hurt me financially, but there are worse cases, as I may have alluded to slightly.
Yeah. My advice in that case, and it's happened to me a couple of times with some of my photographs, is just send a message to the people that are doing it and say, look, if you're going to do this, give me an attribution. distant. Yeah. So it's from me. Here's a link to my site. And most people are going, oh, I'm sorry, I never even thought. And they'll put one up for you. And those that don't, you can then follow up with a cease and desist. And you've already got evidence that you've tried to resolve it. So if they don't, you can send them a cease and desist.
You are listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Stay tuned for more banter.
Can I ask a question, Luke, on that subject? Is there a reason that you don't like to put your URL in your comics?
I'm lazy. That's basically for most of the ones I do now, I do. And I've sort of worked out how to make it almost work, because sort of just there's a slightly blank area down there. So, but no, I should have basically put a. It is a good idea to, in maybe not on the image, but somewhere on the actual, not in the sort of the frame, but somewhere on the PNG file, to have your website address so people can, because things do just leak out onto the internet somewhere, and so it's good to have a just some text. Which tells you what the URL is if something just appears on Imgur and stuff. It's frustrating when you see Reddit, it's got 200 upvotes, and that's really cool, and you go, oh wow, people like it, and then you realise that they're not going to your URL. They have no idea where this comic has come from, and it's like, oh, I could have liked that traffic. Well, one good thing for finding where your comics have been lifted is a search engine called TinEye, which can you enter an image and it will. It's like Google. It's like image Google, not Google. Ah, that's a terrible combination of words. But it searches for that image and very similar images on the internet.
All right. No, TinEye. Did you see?
Yep.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes, because it is incredibly useful. It's how I find a lot of my photographs are being used.
Ah, excellent.
That's very handy.
Yeah.
This is all... Sorry, Luke, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, this is all fairly low-level stuff. It's not really people profiting, it's just people doing what the internet tends to do. But there is worse stuff out there, which, as far as I'm aware, none of us have been victim to, where somebody will come along and put your images on their T-shirts and make money and not give you any. And we all know who we're talking about here.
Yeah, we might as well name drop.
I can't remember his name, but it's not just one guy. There are a load of scumbags that do this. And I'm using scumbags in the widest sense.
Well, I suppose, should we just give a worst-case scenario? Well, I suppose... Well, the worst one that I've heard of is definitely Jess Fink has been targeted, and I mentioned her earlier. She basically makes... She's a cartoonist, and she's made a few really successful T-shirts on Threadless. Including one where it's like a milk and a cookie saying they love each other or something.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
It was very successful on Threadless. And that shirt design, or like an almost exact trace of it, has been stolen so many times. One quite recently, actually, by a seller on Etsy. And there's been very little that she's been able to do about us. I do know one case where another image of hers... of two girls kissing was taken by a designer, edited slightly, and then sold to Hot Topic, which is a clothing chain in the US.
I remember this.
And Twitter basically went crazy, and they got, I'd say Hot Topic got quite a few emails, and the next day the shirt
one
was
of them
moved
from me
stored.
And
there you go.
Yeah.
So people on Twitter, other artists, hate plagiarism because they know how it would feel if their stuff got stolen. So throw it on Twitter.
It's very outside of the system, but it does seem to be the most effective way is to initially let it be known and say, I did this, they did that, look how similar they are. And what often the main culprit will often try and settle as sort of out of court, essentially, which it would be nice if somebody could go through and just get these places completely shut down. But it's probably in individual cases a lot easier to take these out of court settlements, I think.
I will go with one other point though. If the person who is violating your copyright is inside the United States, file a Digital Millennium Copyright Act infringement notice, because it's a criminal offence in America to infringe copyright, and you can go to jail for it. And that scares most of these people to the point where they will back off immediately.
Yeah, I think a fair number of them. There are a few sort of organised ones, with teams of lawyers, but there's quite a few which are just low-level people with Etsy shops
who are
too lazy and scumbaggy to make their own stuff, so to steal other people's.
Yeah.
So that would generally scare most scumbags off. So yeah.
And while we're on it, this is like a side note, tracing over somebody's photo, that's still violating the copyright of that photo.
Because
it's a derivative work. So, you know, and actually a lot of comic artists have been caught out on that recently. There was a guy who was tracing from paused stills of Lost from Sawyer's head for one of his characters, a Marvel artist. And that guy got fired. Yeah. So that's just because I'd say that, you know, if you... kind of starting out, people might do that. So just watch out, and like even taking people's pictures from Google Images and sticking them in the background of your comic, they own their copyright to that image. Yeah. So
you can find royalty-free images with a little more effort than just sticking something into Google, and you can use those as background images. But
Google actually has a facility for that. If you go to Image Search, click on Advanced Settings, and you can actually search for whatever you want with a copyright filter that says license for commercial reuse with modification. And then anything that you find there, just make sure that is actually licensed for commercial reuse with modification. If it is, then you're fine to use it.
Oh, that's great to know.
So you have no excuse.
there literally is no excuse.
Well, one last thing I just thought of. Do you guys... I did say on that, sorry. I just one thing. Do you guys use Creative Commons on your images? On your site?
I considered it and then pulled it.
How are you licensing your own image?
All my images are totally copyright because they're actually produced now on behalf of a company that owns them. So they're all
copyright. That'd be Allmouth Media.
Yes. A company specifically produced to make the website and the books.
Alright, cool.
And I thought if I had a Creative Commons license, it might undervalue the value of the comic.
Creative Commons, is that the thing where you can basically allow people to take your comic and kind of use it on their sites and stuff? Is that, am I right in thinking that?
You've got various, you can add various caveats onto it.
Right.
I did have, I think I still maybe technically do, but in my site redesign I did this whole stuff is all Creative Commons thing got lost. So add it back. But basically what it does, it allows the key thing is they have to attribute, and it has to be non-commercial users. So as long as people aren't making money of it or claiming it's theirs, I'm generally happy for people to use my comics in mix or one thing I really like is somebody would come along and go, I will transition. Like, excellent. And so yeah, I think the things that I don't want people to do are to basically make money
Yeah, well, that's a fair enough
that
request, isn't
I would
it?
Quite like to say that it says. So that's still protected under Creative Commons, but otherwise people are allowed to use it for their own creative purposes, which I quite like.
There are several Creative Commons comic projects around. I'm trying to think what there's. What's her name? Jenny Everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Who's an open source character? You can put her in your own stuff, and sell the comics based on that as well, if I remember correctly. And there's also this old set of superheroes that are created in the late 90s. It's called World Powers. It's basically a group of international superheroes that were produced for a project called Shareware Comics, which never really got off the ground, but it's like a forerunner of open source ideas. And they're around, and I'm pretty sure there's another set of open source superheroes as well, but I can't remember what they're called. So there are around, and where there are open source characters, you are of course free to use them, as long as you stick with the terms of whatever license is with them.
Right.
But for everyone else, stay clear.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I don't have much more to add now. But,
I was going to say that I used to have Creative Commons license on my old comics, which were kind of gag comics, because, you know, it allows people to post it around as long as they link back to you in a legal sense, although, you know, whether that happens or not is very different. Oh my god, the robot's going off. Hang on one second. I'll finish the sentence. But for my current comics, since they're not the kind of pages that people are going to be sharing around, they're under full copyright. I just didn't bother putting the ability to share them around legally, because, you know, people aren't going to be posting them around, and if they are, I doubt it's going to be getting me any link backs. So I'd rather just have, you know, just in the wild, unlikely possibility that I am ever taken to court in some respect, that I have the strongest case possible.
That's fair enough. It is worth noting that copyright isn't like trademarks. If someone copies your work, it doesn't weaken your claim to copyright. For example, the Discworld series by Terry Pratchett, technically the Discworld mod that's out on the internet, the massive multiplayer text adventure, is infringing his copyright, but they have a kind of agreement where they won't try and pass themselves off or make money from it, and he won't sue them out of existence, because it's just something that his fans are doing to enjoy themselves.
Right.
So it's not actually infringing his copyright, but at any time that he still said has the ability to say, actually, no, stop that.
Oh, cool.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. It may not be a real company, but it's a real podcast.
Well, since the robot's gone off, is there anything else that anyone wants to bring up?
No, I don't think so. I suppose I should just say I rest my case, since it's kind of a legal thing.
We should probably repeat that legal caveat we had at the start.
Yeah, none of this counts as legal advice. I would just, if we can, quickly go through the rest of the questions that Steph said, because they're all basically yes or no, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
So let's have a look. If or when I ever go to print and or start making money off my work, what is the likelihood that I'll get lawsuits from people who want a piece of my pie? Fairly unlikely, really, isn't it? Unless you're infringing their work or their mental, in which case they'll get thrown out. Should webcomics have lawyers before putting things into print?
No.
Nope. That's a fairly straightforward one, really. Once a book is published, who is responsible for any infringements or claims, the creator or the publisher? Both. You can be sued as the creator because you created whatever thing is infringing, and the publisher can be sued as the publisher of an infringing work because they should have known better.
Can I ask you a further one to that one? If the publisher makes you sign a waiver to say that they're not responsible, would you... is that legal?
No, because they can't bind a third party.
Ah, right, cool.
Because if I make an agreement with you that I'm not going to sue you and you're not going to sue me, Oh, and then I pass you Luke's work to print, and you print it. Luke can't be bound by our agreement.
Right, okay.
He could still go after both of us, me for doing it and you for not checking.
Right. All right, cool. That's an interesting one. Cool.
Is permission or licensing required to feature a real car or other product in a printed webcomic? Yes, because the design is copyright. And most likely parts of it are trademarked as well. Is changing the name of a company or product, we've already done that one. At what point does a fake logo infringe upon an actual logo? I think we've covered that one as well. Wasn't it you, Luke Healy, who said if the guy in the street thinks it's real?
Yeah, if a person, just an average layperson, can recognize that it's the logo of whatever company you're parodying, then yeah, it counts.
Yep. Where are we? Canada, one question, we've done that one as well. I think that's it.
Alright.
Excellent.
The last one was Red from Meiosis was saying, if not, could a potential publisher have issues with a cool character tribute made by a fan on YouTube? As a publisher myself, I would say most likely if you've got fans that are so enthused by your product that they're making fan tributes on the internet, most likely a publisher's going to think that's actually pretty good. And they're more likely to be interested in your product than if you had no one interested in you whatsoever.
Cool.
Because effectively, you come with your built-in fan base. We don't have to do as much work.
Yeah, that makes sense. Excellent.
I think that's everything.
Good. So, should we sign off?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I have been Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com.
I've been James Spence of girlsinspace.co.uk.
I'm Luke Healy of swanenook.com.
And I'm Zoe Kirk Robinson of Life in OptiMouse, All Over the House, Inkproof Canon, and Webcomic Builder. Go to zoerobinson.com for links to all them because it's too long to say.
You have been listening to the Webcomics Company podcast at webcomics.co, where you can go and ask us questions about anything. You will try and answer them in future podcasts. Thank you very much for listening. And
goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. See you in 2 weeks' time.
Have you seen the court case between the BBC and the Metropolitan Police?
Yeah, that's right. And the BBC ended up winning it, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they own the blue police box thing?
For the purposes of time and space transport vehicles, the BBC own the police box. And they took it off the police.
That's amazing. That's almost as good as the Armenian
one. Please protect like London. Doctor Who protects the universe. It's way more important.
That's it.
I so loved ripping the judge on that one.
Oh, they must have been a fan.
Yeah.
That's pretty genius.
That's been a judge. Like, no, I need to watch the entire back catalogue of Doctor Who before I can make a decision. I think I'll get you a verdict in 3 months' time.
So what do you mean you've wiped some of the original episodes? Those are my favourites, damn it! It's a black mark against you, BBC. I don't know what accent that's supposed to be.
Instead of them going, "Yes, my lord," they'd have to go, "Yes, my time lord."
Oh.